This is the day which the Lord has made. We will I think my hearing's going out. Hang on. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will Okay, I heard it this time. I just couldn't hear it before. I just wanted to make sure. All right. Well, today we're talking about battles. We're talking about battles. Guys, I have some bad news. What's the bad news? The enemy is still alive and doing well. Guys, I have some good news also. And this is the good news of the gospel. Amen. And the good news is we find out when we read that, when we believe it, that the enemy has been defeated. And we're going to study that today. And we're going to talk today about battles and where we do battles. And my sermon title is, How and Where Do You Fight Your Battles? How and where do you fight your battles? And it's not how do you fight your battles. It's not how do you fight your battles. Or how do you fight your battles. So we're not talking about how and how do you. But how do you fight your battles. Meaning it's a personal question for each one of you. How do you fight your battles? How do you fight your battles? And how do you fight your battles? Open your Bibles to James chapter 4 in the New Testament. James chapter 4, we'll be in there briefly, and then we're going to Psalm 91 where we'll spend pretty much the rest of our time. But James chapter 4 explains to us, and it gives us reason why we fight battles. As though it's justified, it's just telling us why we do it, but it's not justifying why we do it. And in James chapter 4, verse 1 through 3, it says, "What is causing the quarrels and fights among you?" Great question. He just puts it out there. "Don't they come from the evil desires at war within you?" Oh, great. Now he answers it very bluntly also. What causes you to do this? Don't they come from the evil desires within you? The battles are right back on us, guys. And he says, "You want what you don't have." It used to be a little different, you know. You were jealous of what the Joneses have, but now the Joneses have it on Facebook, and they're telling the whole world what they have. I don't have Facebook, so I don't know what the Joneses have, but they're telling everybody else that has Facebook, all other humanity except Adam. "You want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You are jealous of what others have, but you can't get." And you may think, "I haven't killed anyone to get a new car." It doesn't say you kill people. It says you scheme and kill to get it. What in the world have you killed? You have killed your morals, possibly. Your friendships. Your families. Your integrity. Your marriages. "I ruined my marriage to go after that someone else had that I wanted and couldn't get or didn't get." We kill and scheme to get what we don't have. We're jealous of what others have but can't get. So you fight and wage war to take it away from them. "I can treat you better than he or she can. I will treat you like a king or queen." Hey, listen, you've got a king or queen at home. Why are you going after another one? Take care of the one you have. Oh, Pastor Jack used to just annoy me to no end. He said, he'd tell the congregation, "You picked them. Oh, thank you for the reminder." You know, and I thought, oh my goodness. And I'm not saying I didn't want to be with the one I love. He just used to say that to the congregation. "You picked him." Well, he's absolutely right. That's what James says. What's causing the quarrels and fights within you? Don't they come from evil desires within you? Oh, okay, yeah, they do. We picked our king and queen. Now let's take care of our king and queen. The Bible tells us how to do that. Well, they're not taking care of me. The Bible tells you how to take care of your king or queen. It doesn't tell you how to take care of them that aren't. Well, it does, but we don't have to worry about them. We worry about our actions to ourselves and the ones we love. Hang on, let me scan real quick. Okay, yes, sir. No offense. Young folks in the back row there, and all others that want to be counted in that group. But anyway, don't think because I'm talking about husbands and wives, this doesn't pertain to you. Boyfriends, girlfriends, friendships. People will kill those things to get what they don't have. I plan to spend 30 seconds on this part, but my gosh, it just goes on. Yet, you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. I actually knew somebody one time that said, God, would you please help end my marriage so that I can go off and be with so-and-so that I'm trying to be with? Okay, he addresses that. Hang on, guys. Okay, because you don't ask God for it. And even when you ask, oh, here we go. You don't get it because your motives are all wrong. There you go. You want only what will give you pleasure. That prayer was not answered. And that prayer was diligent, meaning that person meant it. Oh my goodness. No, you're not going to get that. God can't bless that kind of a mess. And he goes on to say in verse 4, he says, don't you realize that your friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? Whew, 30 seconds later, let's turn over to Psalm 91. But that tells us why we're in battle today. Our motives are wrong. We want things that we can't have, that we can't get, that aren't ours to ask. And when we pray for them, or we don't get them because we don't pray for them. And then when we do, if our motives are wrong, God says, I can't answer that the right way. Now he's given us free will and we can go down that path, but it's no good. Psalm 91. We'll spend most of our time in Psalm 91. And we'll be reading the entire thing, all 16 verses. And it says, those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Okay, let's just stop right there. I'll break this down. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest. We've talked many different times about the different type of rest we have or don't have, or where we can find it. And it says right here, this is one of the places we can find it. If we live in the shelter of the Most High. This I declare about the Lord in verse 2. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God and I will trust Him. For He will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. He will cover you with His feathers. He will shelter you with His wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrow that flies in the day. Do not dread the disease that stalks in the darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you. Just open your eyes and see how the wicked are punished. So if we stop right there, he tells us if we're in his shelter, if we're under his umbrella of protection, meaning if we live in the shelter of the Most High, that's where we're most protected. All these things will come to the enemy. All these things, now listen carefully, all these things may come to those that are outside of living in a shelter. You may attend church. You may be Christian. You may have accepted Jesus Christ. But those who live in the shelter of the Most High, they're the ones that will find rest. All of us in here could say, we may all say, I have accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Great. That doesn't automatically give you rest. It will give you some rest, but he says you'll have further rest when you're living in this shelter. We all may be living under the shelter of our little umbrella that folds up this big. Pops up and you've got a thing this big. Stiff wind hits it. I'll never forget, Austin went out in a crazy storm, came back in with the tattered remains of a nice umbrella. He's like, wow, that's pretty bad out there. Guys, that's what it's like when we try and go live within our shelter. Jesus Christ said, man, there's storms out there. There's the enemy out there. There's disease out there. People are falling at your sides. But when you live under my umbrella, that's where and when you'll find protection. It says, he alone is my refuge. Can't find refuge in all of these places. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I will trust him. We have to learn to trust him. Yeah, but he doesn't know. Right. He doesn't have a clue. Poor little clueless God has no idea what we're dealing with down here. I won't go down that path. He has no idea what we're doing down here. Yes, he does. He knows. So I will trust him. And it says he's going to rescue us from all these traps. You know, every time we're walking, even though we're walking the straight and narrow path, there is a snare set just waiting for us. Those of us that walk the straight and narrow, there is still a snare out there trying to get us entrapped. It's horrible, I know. It's horrible. So you guys watch out. Caleb has said it. August agrees. He says, okay, we're good with that. Just open your eyes and see how the wicked are punished. Remember our first text in James chapter 4. Why do we do battle? We do battle because of these things. But we also, when we do battle that way, we are not living in his protection. We're not living under the protection or the shelter of the Most High. In verse 9 it says, if you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. And then verse 9, if you make the Lord your refuge and the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. Guys, that doesn't mean things will not come against you. Things will come against you. The Bible tells us they will come against us. But it says they will not, what? Conquer you. They will not defeat you. Oh, they'll irritate you and they'll bother you. But they will not conquer us. Verse 10, or verse 11, says, for he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. You will trample upon lions and cobras, and you will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation. Now we can look at this and try and break it out in very literal terms and say, okay, a long life. Could you define that? Yes, as long as God wanted you to be here, he's going to give you a long life. And I found it fascinating. We talked briefly about it Wednesday night in our Bible study. But last week when Jason Whitlock was here, and he was talking about the bamboo seed and the bamboo shooting. Years and years, it's all underground and nobody sees anything. And I want us to remember that. When we're looking at others, oh my gosh, God, when is something going to happen? When will there be a breakthrough? God says, what do you mean? There's all kinds of work going on that you can't see. You see, I'm at hand. I'm at work here. And I've got this amazing thing coming up, but it's not time yet. Some of you are reading that book about healing the soul. What a powerful book that is. It's not time at this point in your life, but you will get to a point, and then it will be your breakthrough moment. Indeed. It will be your breakthrough moment when I, God, ordain it. And by the way, when the rest of the world is telling you, you're not doing anything, you're not doing anything, He's doing work that we don't see. And we have to remember that. And by the way, when we look in the mirror and say, God, why aren't you doing anything with me? Compared to what or who? Oh, yes. I was on Facebook last night, and compared to the Jones, why aren't you doing anything with me? God says, you have no idea. I've got a breakthrough moment for you just like I have for them. And we've got to remember that. Your time has not yet come, but it's a coming. But by the way, be prepared and get ready for it. Remember years ago when I preached a message, first starting out, we talked about Sunday school and what we wanted to do here at Prayer of Faith. And I said, we have to do the thing that they have on Facing the Giants, that movie. Two farmers needed rain desperately. One went out and prepared his field even though no rain was coming. The other one didn't do anything but said, God, you're not sending any rain. And in the film, he said, who do you think God sent the rain to? Those that have prepared their fields. We have to prepare ourselves. And sometimes we look, young people, again, I'm going to the back row here, no offense to anyone else and everyone else, but young people, man, God's doing something with them. What about me? Why are they getting jobs? Why am I not? Why am I just doing this? Why are they doing that? Why did they get promoted like that and I didn't? Oof, that jealousy, guys. Stay away from it. Okay, some of you older folks over here wondering the same thing. My wife said, yeah, over here, I'm wondering it too. God says, I've got a breakthrough for you as well, Cindy. I got a breakthrough for each one of you. Prepare your field. When you're not walking in obedience, I can't bless you guys. So I need you to walk in obedience so I can bless you. You haven't been obedient with this. And he says, when you are faithful with a few, I will make you ruler over many. Okay? And he says, until you're obedient, I can't give you more because you haven't proven to be good and trustworthy, so to speak, with this. Amen. I need you to be good stewards with what I've given you. I need you to trust me. That's God talking, not me. I need you to trust me. I need you to trust me as well. I am talking. Guys, I'm the senior pastor. I need you to trust me that my motives are pure, what we do in this church and what we do. And by the way, we've got a lot of faithful members in here, and I appreciate you so much. I'm so thankful for our flock and what we do. Guys, we have Sunday school classes because you have chosen to teach. Someone said, well, what do you have for this age? We have something for every age. From the youngest to the oldest, we have something to teach you every Sunday morning. We need to trust in God. And he says, when they call on me, I will answer. Back to verse 14. I'm sorry. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them, and I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation. It's a choice what we do. In verse 9, it says, if you make the Lord your refuge, if, oh, dang it, if, Lord, you have given me another choice I have to make. If you choose me, if you choose the Lord and make the Lord your refuge and the Most High your shelter, that's where our protection is. We can all be here, but that doesn't mean that we're all under the shelter of the Most High. You say, well, we are. I'm not talking about the structure here. I'm talking about when we walk out of these doors and everywhere we go, are we in the shelter of the Most High when we walk through the parking lot? when we get in our car, when we go to our place of employment, when we go to our place of education, when we go to our homes, when we go out shopping, are we in the shelter of the Most High? He says, no evil will touch you if you make that choice. And it says, He will and His angels will protect you. Flip over to 2 Corinthians. We're going to close with three different scriptures here to wrap this up. So when I say, how and where do you fight your battles? It's not how and where do you fight your battles. How do you fight? No, it's how do you and where do you fight your battles? You have to fight them under the shelter of the Most High. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 6. And as we go into battle, we have to remember these things. And it says, we are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons. You guys catching that? We don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God, and we capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. And after you have become fully obedient, we will punish everyone who remains disobedient. So as we read that scripture again, that's from 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 6. It tells us a couple things. There's human reasoning. We all have this justification of why we did something. But it says, we use God's mighty weapons to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning. And then it tells us about the false arguments. And it tells us in a few other spots in the New Testament, don't get caught up in these false arguments and these arguments that don't matter and don't lead to godly answers and resolution. So we get stuck on false arguments. And it says we've got to destroy those. And then we talk about the proud obstacles, the pride that gets in the way. And it says we destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. And then there's those rebellious thoughts. Lord, I want to get even with them. Lord, would you please get even with them and do it quickly? They deserve it. Lord, they've hurt so-and-so. They've hurt so-and-so. Have they hurt you, Adam? No, they've hurt them and them and them, though. Why are you worrying about it, Adam? I'm just throwing my name in there so I don't have to use y'all's name or something in case that applies to you. But he says, you don't need to worry about that. Rebellious thoughts. He says, teach them to obey Christ. And after they have become fully obedient, we will punish everyone who remains disobedient. Then flip over a couple more pages to Ephesians. Just a few more pages there. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. We'll start out in verse 10, actually, because I like it. And it says, a final word. Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against the strategies of the devil. Church, we can't put on some of that armor. I'm going to go there. Okay, I know some of you ride motorcycles and whatever, have, do, family, whatever. But I'm going to say this. When we go out and we want full protection, we can't leave part of our gear at home. And it's the same thing here. When we go play football, good grief, could you imagine going out there smacking around without shoulder pads and helmets and whatever? When we go out there, be strong in the Lord and His mighty power. Put on all of God's armor. We have to know what His armor is. God, do I really have to put this on? Yes. Why? so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. Oh my gosh, you mean the devil's not just some ding-dong? But he's got strategies and thought processes, and he's got all these ways to twist people up and catch us? Yes, absolutely. Bad news, he's alive and well. Good news, he's already been defeated. And the good news here is he tells us how to defeat him. When we become fully obedient, put on all of God's armor so that we can stand firm against the strategies of the devil. Verse 12, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood. We're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world. These are powerful, powerful forces we're dealing with. Against mighty powers in this dark world and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor. Every piece of God's armor. So you'll be able to resist the enemy in time of evil. And then one more spot in Revelation. Go to the end of your Bible. And I love what it says here in Revelation chapter 21. Band's going to come up and sing a song. If you'll go ahead and come forward now. And it's Shout Unto God. And it talks about the enemy being defeated. And that's what I want to sing about as we close today. In Revelation chapter 21 verse 7. I put verse 7, that's my key one, but let's go to verse 5, because I love it. And it says, and the one sitting on the throne said, look, I am making everything new. And then he said to me, write this down, for I tell you, it is trustworthy and true. And he also said, it is finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of the water of life. To all who are thirsty. And it says, the next verse, which I really love, that's what I want to close with. And it says, all who are victorious will inherit all these blessings, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. And it tells us if we're victorious, if we can overcome, there's a reward for those that overcome. All who are victorious will inherit all these blessings, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. Psalm 91 just reminds us that we have to live under the shelter of the Most High. Stand as we close today.